Congressman Manzullo, welcome to AM 560. Good morning, sir.
How are you this morning?
We're doing okay. How are you?
It's good to talk to you before the liberals in the Senate want to impose the fairness doctrine and shut you down.
You're not buying that nonsense, are you?
Well, I'm not buying it, but that's what they want to do.
No, they are placating the far left nuts who want to hear a couple people say something like that. But the fairness doctrine, when it was in effect, it was a completely different landscape and a different world. You can't tell McDonald's to serve a Whopper.
Oh,
it will never work.
It's coming back.
It is not coming back. Don't pee yourself. It'll be okay.
They talk about it all the time, don't they, Congressman? You got Schumer talking about it.
They talk about it enough that legislation has been introduced to try to stop it. Yeah. But meanwhile, last night at midnight, the Democrats released a 1,000-page bill, gave us 10 hours to read it, 90 minutes of debate. That's about $1 billion a page. And so I have to read through 1,000 pages to come to a decision that here's a stimulus bill that in the middle of the night they ripped out two of the most reasonable provisions, that is to increase sales of homes and a little bit of automobiles, and instead threw more and more stuff in there that just makes this very, very unfortunate. This is not a regular budget bill. This is a stimulus bill to kickstart the economy, but it's not there, and it's unfortunate because we need something.
I thought they made a promise, I'm talking about the Democrats, to give you guys 48 hours so they post that thing online and let you look at it.
Well, their promise was rescinded yesterday when they imposed what's called martial law and said that we could bring up this bill at any time. In fact, 10 seconds before you vote on it, And those are the rules. Take it or leave it. So they're in control, and that's what they did. We voted against it, but we didn't have enough votes to stop it.
Well, they gave you, 1,000 pages, 10 hours. So that's about 100 pages an hour. You can get through that and understand everything, can't you?
You haven't taken the Evelyn Wood class yet? Come on. Get on it.
Came out at midnight. I just got up at 6 o'clock.
Oh, well, then what are you talking to us for? You got several hundred pages to get through this.
Why read it? You can't stop it. I mean, at this point, it's a foregone conclusion. It really has been. Since they let your speaker kind of decide what was going to be in this bill. Do you think by Obama letting her essentially craft this thing from your side a few weeks ago, he has given himself a little wiggle room if it doesn't work?
I don't know. I think President Obama is having speaker's remorse that he should have grabbed control of this thing, said we're going to spend maybe $400 or $500 billion. So it's going to be aimed totally at stimulating the economy with no pork thrown into it. But this is it has all kinds of pork. The pork has been put in by the speaker and by people in the administration. The problem is that the Republican alternative would have cost half the amount, created twice the amount of jobs, according to the president's own economist, given Americans about $3,300 more in cash to keep for their own. It would have kept the housing credit at $7,500. I mean, in the middle of the night, they ripped out everything good in there from $38 billion down to $3 billion in stimulus. We could only find about $3 billion in stimulus out of $800 billion. This is not a stimulus bill. This is a regular spending bill that goes straight to the deficit.
Yeah, something that's been lost in this, and I'm glad you touched on this, something that's been lost is the fact that the Republicans did present an alternative plan, and it wasn't that you went out and got far right-wing economists to say that this would create more jobs. It was even nonpartisan and even some liberal economists who said...
Well, we used the president's economy.
Yeah.
They came up and said, look at your bill, spends half the amount of money, Caesar creates almost twice as many jobs, and actually will start the economy moving. You know, what we need to do is we need to get people back to work again. We can do everything we can to try to save people's houses on mortgage foreclosures, but unless people are working, you can reduce the payments by half. It still won't save them from losing their houses. That's why stimulus is critical, but it's aimed directly at putting people back in the means of production. And that's why we came out with a provision that said, look, give everybody, in addition to these other Republican efforts, give everybody a $5,000 voucher. Go buy a brand new car. You can buy a brand new Patriot built in Belvidere, Illinois, which is conveniently located in the congressional district that I represent. Mm-hmm. But instead of paying $20,000 for it, you pay $15,000. You buy a brand new car for less than $300 a month for 5 years. That gets people start to working again. It starts to restock the state and local sales tax coffers. The OEMs go back to work. America returns to work. And that's the way to have a stimulus work. But no, they decided just to pour all kinds of money on top, pour in and fund all their pet projects they've been sitting on years wanting to fund. And it's very, very unfortunate because the American people become the victims of this massive bill.
You're listening to Congressman Don Manzullo here from McHenry on AM 560 WIND. So let's talk politically here. Mm-hmm. In the rough and tumble House of which you're a member, you expect all the Republicans to hold true and to vote no on this today. What would happen if two or three of your members decided to do what the more genteel members of the U.S. Senate have and walk across the aisle to support the Democrats? What would happen to those Republicans, if any, are disposed to doing that?
Well, people vote their conscience. I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, 11 or 12 Democrats voted no on the original stimulus bill. The press never talked about that. Yeah. They just couldn't take it. They probably agreed with Judd Gregg. That this is something that they simply cannot vote for because it's too big, it's too bloated, it's not aimed at stimulating the economy.
The Democrats, you mentioned there was, I believe it was 11 who voted against it. Mm-hmm. Do you think because of all of the negative press that has come out about all of the junk in the bill that maybe you can attract even more of them? Certainly not enough to kill the bill in the House, but at least enough to send a statement of bipartisanship against this bill.
Well, it's very unfortunate. I know a lot of Democrats that are quite conservative, but they have to dance to the tune that their speaker plays, and so it's very, very difficult for them to vote no on something like this. I anticipate probably at least 11 will vote no. There's been nothing done in this bill to really attract people who understand economics, who understand that people are really hurting and need to get back to work. And you put people back to work by stimulating their jobs, not by spending, for example, $13 million to study volunteerism or $40 million for ATV trails. We think a lot of that stuff is still in the bill. Of course, we haven't read it yet because I can't read 100 pages a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many of those conservative Democrats, there's people in districts, especially in the South, who sent conservative Democrats to Washington just because they wanted something different. They don't understand by sending conservative Democrats there, you actually give the liberal Nancy Pelosi the power.
Well, it puts her in a position of being speaker. That's what happens, is that the conservative Democrats will add to the majority that puts her in a position of being speaker.
So, Congressman, in your view now, okay, the stimulus is going to pass. That's a foregone mm-hmm. conclusion. So what's best for you personally and the Republican Party in general? Is it best that this thing is a wholesale disaster so during the midterms you can point to no movement in the economy whatsoever? Or is it better for the country that it has some positive effects?
Well, I don't know about the politics of it. I mean, I'm
well, yeah, you know, you're a politician. You know about the politics.
Right.
Look, I mean, the Republicans, there's no reason to vote for this because, your core values don't represent what this is all about. I'm fine with that and because you're not going to get credit if it works anyway. But I'm saying in your heart of hearts, I mean, do you kind of wish that this whole thing just tanks so that you have an opportunity to rebuild this Republican Party, which has been beaten like a rented mule here for the last couple of elections? Or do you, for the country's sake, want to put people back to work?
I'm not looking at the politics of it. I'm looking at putting people back to work. The economy may right itself as a top will if you give it enough spin on its own. What I'm trying to do is to do what's right, looking at the entire picture, and that's as far as I could look at it. And I don't vote on something saying I hope this thing fails and therefore people will return the Republicans to power. What I'm concerned about is the 12% unemployment in Rockford and 6% and 7% in McHenry County, trying to get those people back to work.
Yeah.
This bill, based upon what we see now, simply is not going to work.
Well, Congressman, if you can just get them to start producing film that is used in Hollywood, then perhaps via the tax breaks, that'll put people to Rockford to work,
Well, Chicago used to have a very active cinema market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really good. We lost a lot of it to Canada and to other places. I don't know the reason for that, but that's another incentive. We can show more movies. But unfortunately, the James Bond movies, the new ones, don't have those great chase scenes. They're boring.
You're right. Yeah, they're not quite as exciting as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Congressman, we appreciate your time here this morning. I hope we can get you back here from time to time to see what's going on, at least in your district and also in D.C., and you're welcome here anytime, okay?
Well, we appreciate it. Unfortunately, the new tone of bipartisanship is if you don't agree with them, then they go out and run radio ads against you.
Well, I know. Yeah, any of those hitting you or no?
Pardon?
Any of those going to be targeted against you?
Yeah, they've been running some ads targeted against us. You'd be surprised the people calling in and saying, hey, we understand you're against the stimulus bill. Good for you.
Yeah, they're in support of it. Yeah, they're actually helping you by running those ads.
Well, it brings attention to the fact that the stimulus bill has problems. And 2 weeks after the new president is sworn in, political ads start all over again. You have to weigh whether or not the days of partisan bickering have ended. They have not.
No, they haven't. There's been no bipartisanship probably for three decades at this point because you don't have to have it. When you win, you control it. When you don't win, you sit on the sidelines. Simple as that.
Well, I saw some remarkable things when the Republicans were in control. And now, granted, the margins were a lot less than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
But we worked across the aisle with a lot of Democrats coming up with some really good, solid legislation. You didn't hear about it because it's not fancy, but it dealt with a lot of things wrong in America, going to the very economic basis that we have. You don't see that spirit anymore. That's unfortunate.
Well, and I think in the old days, and I don't quite know how to articulate this. I tried a couple days ago with my partner here. But, bills. Okay, now we can pick out Hollywood, or we can pick out birth control, or we can pick out what I call culturally sensitive, like landmines and all these bills, and talk radio and partisans and Webbers and bloggers can ratchet these things up to inflame their base, where previous generations, the bills were done in Washington by pros like yourself, and you knew there were some unsavory things in there, but the general public probably never heard of these things. Thus, bipartisanship was a lot easier to achieve previously.
Oh, yeah, better in the darkness. Well, always better that there's not transparency.
I'm not saying that was a better time necessarily, but I'm saying it did work in favor of passing things. Am I right or wrong on that, Congressman?
Well, no, you are correct. The internet and talk radio has certainly brought to light a lot of things that unfortunately used to happen in the darkness. But my gosh, here's a bill that's written in the dark. Republicans have no role in it at all. It's released at midnight.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that send a message to the American people that you want to take a look at this legislation before rushing to judgment? What happens if they slip something in on page 837, paragraph 2? Of course, everybody will look at that now. I have no idea what it says. That could really hurt somebody. We don't know. Well, we don't have a chance to study that legislation.
Yeah,
there certainly should be more time. All right, Congressman Don Manzullo, McHenry County Republican, thanks for joining us here on AM 560.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you very much. Yeah.